Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, as we have been discussing, several European countries have decided to suspend the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine due to a small number of blood clot concerns. However, the United Kingdom has decided to continue using the vaccine. And to tell us more about this, I'm joined now by Paul Hunter, who is Professor of Medicine at the University of East Anglia. And Professor Hunter, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
My pleasure.
So several European countries, as I say, they have suspended AstraZeneca, three this afternoon alone, Germany, France and Italy. Why has the United Kingdom decided to continue with its use?
Well, I've clearly not been part of that decision myself, but I think essentially what's been happening in the UK is we've been looking at the what's called the yellow card reports, where all sorts of possible adverse outcomes occurring after vaccination are reported centrally. And there does not appear to be any dramatic difference in either between the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine or the Pfizer vaccine in reporting of thrombotic events. Now, having said that, you know, the Germans are reporting something of the order of about four such events per million population. But when you consider that you look at a lot of different other adverse events as well, the chances of getting a statistical association between any one of the possible adverse events that we track is quite high. So I think the view is at the moment that this is more likely than not to be just a statistical association that, and rather than any causal association, and that not to vaccinate people at the moment, given that we know that in the sort of the age group that has been affected by this, the sort of people in their mid-40s, the age specific, if you get an infection, you've got about a 1 in 1,000 chance of succumbing to the infection anyway, which is substantially higher than the risk that's being suggested for the venous sinus thrombosis.
Okay, so as you say then, you've been looking at the yellow card reports, which is that's the scheme whereby mm-hmm. the UK track any adverse events being reported after the
yes.
vaccine. So what have you found? I think you said there is no significant difference, but is there a difference between the vaccinated population and the general population?
Well,
what are you finding?
The yellow cards don't report on people who haven't had vaccines. So it is, you've got to be careful about how you interpret these and look at what's happened, what data is around in the general population. And certainly when I've been looking through those relevant reports that are relevant to this issue of thrombosis, nothing jumps out as being that much different to what you would expect in a normal population prior to vaccination. So The Medicines Agency will have been doing that and will have been looking very carefully at these, and that they will have a lot more people involved in looking at how the yellow cards reports relate to what is known about a whole range of conditions in the community.
If we look at the different countries that have suspended the vaccine and some of the reasons that they've done so, if we take a look at Norway, for example, we were speaking to Sarah Wattele from mm-hmm. the Norwegian Institute of Public Health earlier today, and she was among the people who made the decision to suspend the vaccine. And she told us there have been two fatalities and two further severe cases of blood clots in young people. So four of the young people got these very unusual, she described it, blood clots within,
yes.
I think, 12 to 14 days after getting the vaccine. Two of those people died. Now, she said it was unusual. It wasn't like the normal blood clot, and all of them had had the vaccine. Now, she wasn't saying it was because of the vaccine, because they don't know, obviously, but it was
yes.
enough to cause them concern. Would it cause you concern?
Absolutely. I mean, they certainly need to be investigated, and people and you know, look especially at the conditions and the results of any post-mortem examinations to find out exactly what's gone on. But again, you've got to set this against rare complications, against the fact that around Europe, many thousands of people are still dying from COVID infections. And yes, we need to know whether this is real or not. Mm. I think most people that I've heard speak on this think it probably isn't real, and that it's probably just a statistical aberration, but which happens particularly when you're looking at a whole range of possible things that you need to keep an eye on. You will always get these sorts of clusters arising, and the vast majority of times they have no, ultimately have no causal relationship.
We heard as well in Italy that there was a young man, well, relatively young, 57, got the vaccine that night, developed a temperature the following day, died. And again, we don't know if there was a link between the two, but it's one of the reasons that Italy have been very concerned around it. Has there been anything like that at all in the UK? Because obviously the UK is way ahead in terms of its use of AstraZeneca. Have there been any sort of instances like this that has caused the authorities to sit back a little bit and say, well, hold on a second?
Certainly I've not heard of any, and there's been nothing in the in the yellow card reporting scheme that is available for public inspection that would indicate that anything like that has happened. And given, you know, we've given many millions of doses of the Oxford AstraZeneca and indeed the Pfizer vaccine to people of all ages, except children, of course, and there does not appear when you compare the Pfizer and the Oxford AstraZeneca reports, there does not appear to be anywhere that there is an obvious difference which would tend to imply problems with one vaccine or another.
All right. Well, very interesting. Thank you very much for joining us to fill us in on your view. That's Paul Hunter, Professor of Medicine at the University of East Anglia.